Galatians 5:22 reminds us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I'm just reading the passage because it's easy now that we've read the passage I don't know how many times to actually don't do it in our services. And we forget as we think about kindness or self-control or whatever that they actually are based in that passage of scripture and they are the fruit of the Spirit. And I must say I have a little pet theory which I'm going to share with you today, and you can think about it and disagree with me if you like. That's absolutely fine. Thanks to Morris for this little picture that he's brought up for us to remind us it's kindness today. But you know, I think the second group, the six of the fruit of the Spirit that we're looking at now, and we've started, are completely dependent on the first three. Now, we know that love is patient, kind, and all the things of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But I think our effectiveness in the last six, and we're in the detail now, aren't we? Getting to the nitty-gritty, for want of a better word. We've always thought about love, joy, and peace. But I think that our experience of the six that we're in now doesn't only depend upon love, but on our joy and our peace. Because unless we're knowing his joy in our hearts, then our lives will hang upon happiness, won't they, which isn't joy and comes and goes with whatever we're doing day by day. We need to know the depth of the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And we need to know his peace in our hearts as we commit our lives to him. Only then, I think, as we're experiencing those first three in abundance, will we really get to grips with the next six. Now, you may not agree with that, that's fine, but I put it to you. It certainly came to me much as I was praying and thinking about kindness for today.
Our reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
So we come to think about kindness today. I need to remind us, of course, that it's one Spirit, one fruit, and the Holy Spirit wants to work each fruit in our lives. The word that we have for kindness actually meant useful to begin with, but had evolved by New Testament times to mean a person who was morally good and honourable and came to be kind. Someone with a kind nature from which kind actions would follow. And the Spirit of God wants to transform us, to give us a kind nature so that kind deeds and works will follow. The word is found on stone inscriptions from ancient times, in fact. It was a title of honour for rulers and important public figures, a virtue to be prized. Quite interesting, because in fact one or two of these nine fruits were definitely not that. They were much despised in the ancient world, but not this one. This one certainly was a virtue that you hung out, as it were, to commend yourself to others, and appeared, as I say, on stone inscriptions. Paul is the main user of the word in the New Testament. I sometimes wonder why, but it's probably because the word looks virtually the same as Christos in Greek. There's only one letter difference. So those who see the word would see Christ as well. That's only my little theory, but maybe that's the reason why Paul was keen on using it. Well, that's enough of the theory. What about the practical? Because that's what it's all about, really, isn't it? It's about us being kind. So why, I've asked two questions today, and I've tried to give some answers to them. The first one is, why should we be kind? What's our motivation? Why should we do it? Well, the first one is that God has been kind to us. Being kind to us in Christ. And you pick that up from Ephesians chapter 2. Let me read some verses to you from verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in all that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So the work of Christ in our lives, our salvation, if you like, flows from God's kindness as well as from his love and a good few other things as well, I guess. God sent his Son to be our Saviour. He has been kind to us in Christ. He has looked upon us in grace and love. And then, secondly, there's a kindness shown to us by Jesus in his earthly life, isn't there? As we read the gospel stories, surely we see the kindness of Jesus. You could go on forever with examples. What about the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4? What about the woman taken in adultery that we also read about in the Gospels? What about the kindness shown to his group of disciples in their failures to understand, in the ups and downs of their working and walking with Jesus over those years of Jesus' ministry? He tried their patience as well, come to that, Charles, when you think about it, pretty much, didn't he, as well. But kindness he showed to his disciples. And how he deals with us today, don't we know his kindness, his generosity to us, if you like, in our daily lives as we seek to follow him? Yes, I think we do. So God has been kind to us, and then we see it too in the life of Jesus. And then God's Spirit, of course, wants us to be kind, doesn't he? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, we read it, we're God's chosen holy people. We've glossed over that bit. It is a fruit, kindness of the Holy Spirit. He wants to see holy lives amongst God's people, the people whom Christ has saved. So, in a way, why should we be kind? Well, it's a work of the whole Trinity. Kind by God, shown to us in Christ, and the Spirit of God wants to bring it to us. And, of course, verse that, again, Charles mentioned last week, it should flow from outpoured love into our hearts. Love, 1 Corinthians 13:4, is kind. And Romans 5:5 reminds us, doesn't it, that God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that he has given to us. So I think those are good reasons why we should be kind. Okay, so that's the first question. The second question is the other obvious one, isn't it? What are the hindrances to being kind? These are rather longer than the other one. I discovered quite a few as I thought about my own life and reflected on it. The first one is obvious. It's ignoring what I've just said, isn't it? And we can so easily do that, that God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit all want to see kindness in our hearts and lives. We can maybe know the Philippians 2, 12 and 13 principle, as I call it, that work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you. And sometimes we can know that God wants to be working in us, but do we get round to working it out in our own experience? There's a challenge for us. We can ignore God's word. We can ignore what I've just been saying in the first few minutes. And then I think I want to say that kindness doesn't necessarily come naturally. Now, it comes naturally for some, and you and I both know lots of lovely, kind people that are around. All of you here, of course, are wonderful, lovely, kind people. But seriously, there are lots of people who just overflow with kindness, aren't they? And we meet them day by day. And they don't always have to be church people. That's what I mean. It is a natural gifting that some have. Some are more kind naturally than others. But we need to remind ourselves, of course, that this is something supernatural. God is wanting to work in us by his Spirit today to bring us to an experience of kindness that we will show forth to others that isn't just part of our natural thinking, part of our natural being. So it's a supernatural work in our hearts and lives. So that's another hindrance. And then our kindness can be selective, I've called it, can't it? I think it can. We can be kind to some and not to others. People we like, much easier, isn't it? People we relate to better. People who are like us, heaven forbid. People who we know better than others. People in our house group, or I don't know, you can go on and on, but we find it easier to be kind to some. Harder, maybe, to those we think don't deserve it. It can almost be judgmental at times, can't it? But we need to show forth the kindness of the Trinity of God in our lives. It mustn't be selective, but I think it so often can be in our own lives. I speak for myself, but I think I speak for all of us too. And then, of course, another one, kindness can be based on feelings, can't it? And it's harder if we feel irritable or tired or unwell or whatever, or if we've had a bad day ourselves. And I think that was partly what I meant when I said, unless we're in the joy of the Lord, it won't be affected, because happiness is something that passes away. I can be happy one minute and then the phone rings and I'm definitely unhappy or whatever, having had a conversation or whatever, the next minute. You know, it's very transient, isn't it? But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Interesting where that comes. Joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you know where it comes? Let me tell you, it's in the Old Testament. It's Ezra. And I thought, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That must be New Testament. But it isn't. It's Ezra preaching to the people from the book of the law, which they just found, if I remember rightly. And the people are weeping and crying. And you think, odd statement, isn't it? The joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. Anyway, that's by the way. But I always think it's a strange context. But there it is for us. And we need to know joy, which isn't transient and passing, but can be with us. And then we can be kinder, maybe, to others. So kindness doesn't come naturally. It can be selective, and it certainly can be based on our feelings. But there's a positive in all of this, actually, strangely, isn't there? That being kind can actually do us good. Had you ever thought of that? Yes, it can, can't it? It can reduce our stress and conflict, improve our mental health. It's all we ever hear about today now is our mental health, isn't it? A bit disturbing it is, actually. Children of five on television, you know, my mental health is affected. And you think, when I was that age, I didn't know what mental meant, or certainly probably didn't know much what health meant. But we've talked about it so much, we've talked ourselves into it a bit, haven't we? And that's not only the youngsters, I fear. But it can certainly improve our spiritual health if we're kind to everybody, improve our relationships with one another in home or church or at work or wherever we happen to be. And people are glad to know you. You can gain friends for life by strange and strange acts of kindness or whatever situation faces you. It's amazing. People remember, and you build a new relationship, a new friendship, a new whatever. So there are tremendous positives that do come out of us being kind, as well as the challenges that come forth from it. It's interesting, if I can still find the tab in here somewhere. Yes, I think I'm there. There's the one place in Matthew's gospel where he uses the word kind. It's an interesting one. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. The word easy is the word for kind. It originally meant that, and in the context, our translators decided that they ought to translate it easy. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you think about the yoke, yoking of oxen, ploughing in the field would have probably been the sort of picture, something like that, that Jesus would have had in mind. When you think of a yoke, it isn't particularly easy. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls. We think of a yoke as being hard work. And it would have been for those oxen or whoever, whatever it was, towing the plough along behind them. But Jesus assures us that his yoke is kind and his burden is light. And we will find as we look to Christ and know the power of his Holy Spirit in our lives that we will be able to be kind and grow in that grace of God by his Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you today for the kindness that you showed to us and the kindness of Christ in his daily life and for the power of your Spirit today that wants to bring a greater degree of kindness into all our lives, a supernatural kindness, a work of your Spirit that enables us to be kind to all those around us, to show forth the life of Christ in kindness. Father, we thank you today. Bless us and encourage us as we seek to be your people, as we seek to take your yoke upon us. May we find that it is that you are kind and gentle to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.